courtesy of BOW! Sports.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes. Subscribe to this lovely, sexy, wonderful podcast for free. Tune in media for your mobile devices, Google Play Podcasts, and we are also on Spotify. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that we so lovingly call BOW! On Bulls, the show totally, utterly, and foreverly dedicated to the Chicago Bulls and NBA talk. I am Big Day.
I'm C-Dub.
What's up, Dub?
What's up, man?
Well, you know, it's good to talk to you, man, because, you know, I had to put you on punishment, you know, for about a night after you told me this horrible thing that you don't eat fruit pies and you talking about you from 79th Street.
Oh,
I really don't even understand how that works, but... But no, you know, it's good to see, you know, you off a hiatus, you know what I mean?
Number one, I don't like eating pies that much. I told you I'm a fan. I know I already hurt your feelings with that already. You should know that about me, because I've been your boy for years. You know I'm not a big, you know, apple pie eater and stuff.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, as a kid, you know, as a youth, we didn't have choices about what we could do. You know what I'm saying? We weren't all balling out of control like you, Dub. We could pick our own
spots, you know what I mean? I had my Twinkies, my Zig Zag things, my Hostess chocolate.
See, we had Zingers, son. What's wrong with you, son? Give me them 2-for-1 fruit pies and call it a day. But I let it go because, you know, I had a birthday last week, and everybody got on the Zoom call and surprised me, which was really cool. And, you know, there was a game where you had to decide what stuff I liked. It was like superheroes and sports figures and music, and Dub, you know, you ended up being the winner, sir. So you ended up knowing me the best. So congratulations.
I think it's a great thing, and I should have. I don't know what it says about the family. I knew I'd win, and honestly, I figured I'd win because they're closer to you in a different way.
True, they very true. Ice.
And also, I get the grown up version of Dave Stoltz. Whereas they got the growing up with kid, growing up with Dave in the bedroom watching TV version.
This is true. This is true.
I thought, and plus, I do like a podcast with you.
I think that's the biggest point. Is all this has been discussed before on podcast.
I told Rebecca, your sister, I told her, I said, listen, Rebecca, on chat, I said, listen, copy everything I say on sports questions. And she didn't do it. She said she forgot. I'm like,
Because we're competitive. Like, no, they're like, yeah, we ain't cheating, bro. And you saw how mad my family was that you were. They were not pleased. It was not happy.
It's funny. I was part of the family when I joined the Zoom. Then all of a sudden, I became.
Then you're right. Then you found out you ain't blood. Right. But, man, congratulations on that. Which brings us to our two guests, the two guys who didn't know me the best, even though, you know, I hang out when they're cool. One of them, my man, Tone, a.k.a. Feast is Famine from the Open Gym Show. What's going on, Tone?
What up, Dave? You know what? I just want to point out that I would have got second or third place had I wasn't so distracted. See, I had my daughter over. I knew a lot of them answers, bro.
Yeah.
And then I was on my bootleg phone. My phone is trash right now.
Okay.
I couldn't even type fast enough. I was like, oh, well.
It's all good.
I just let it go.
No, it's all good, man.
Like, I probably would have still been third place to Dub or maybe even fourth.
Yeah.
But I would have been there.
Right.
I just sucked.
Well, you didn't suck. You didn't suck as much as our next guest. So bringing him in, he has an album out now called Unlearn with a tall black guy on production. It's a really great album. You guys should pick it up. And also, he has a new single. Was a departure from his usual work. It's called Juicy Love. Featuring Eddie Winslow, Marcus Houston, and Cadillac Ty. So give that up for Dominique Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing?
The full government?
Featuring who? I mean, those are heavy hitters, son. I mean, you know, he got Marcus Houston, you know what I'm saying? He got Eddie Winslow here, and of course, you know, Cadillac Ty. You know, from Ja Rule crew. So, you know, that's a big get, D. So, you know, shout out, bro. Big get, bro.
Okay. Damn, I'm going to let that slide because this is still your birthday week or whatever.
Hold on, is Dave on this album? Is Dave on this the album, right? So you part of it, Dave.
No, I'm not on this one. I didn't have, you know, D didn't think I'd have the, you know, talent to be on this one. And he's right. I mean, you know, you know, with
Dave doing background. He one of them greasy ass niggas on the base.
I tried to be, but Marcus Houston didn't want me nowhere near the booth, so you know, can't be mad at that. He thought I was too immature. Hey.
I would have fared better in that game too.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have Jason Kidd as a better point guard than Magic Johnson.
Again. It wasn't better. It was favorite. I don't think he's better.
He shouldn't have been your favorite.
He's my favorite point guard. But thank y'all, man, for coming on, doing this show. A lot to discuss going on with the beloved Chicago Bulls. Actually, good things, you know, happening. Brought in the new GM. Brought in the new vice president of operations. Brought a new assistant GM. Fired Jeff Tanaka, who I couldn't stand. Fired Gar Forman. John Paxson is now an advisor. He lets our tourists know where to get steaks at. So that's his new role. So yeah, it's a awesome time, but there is one thing left to do. And that is what has not happened yet. And Bulls fans are very upset about this so far. And that is get rid of Jim Boylan, who is still the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. D, I'll go to you first. Your thoughts on Jim Boylan. Like, are you surprised that he's still here right now?
I'm surprised, and I'm even more surprised after the article I read yesterday that he might be here for a while. I read an article yesterday. I don't know how legit it is, but our new GM, he's actually growing on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we've seen this, everything that he can do, especially with the roster we got. So, it's time for him to move on.
Time for him to step. No, I agree wholeheartedly with that. Jim Boylan, why is he still here? Because I know you have hypothesis, a theory. You have a theory as to why Jim Boylan is still here.
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons why Jim Boylan may be here. The one reason may be that they send Jim Boylan out to do these public. Like, I guess, give him an opportunity to represent the Bulls. So, like, you know, AK doesn't want to go out to these meetings and whatnot or go to the Juneteenth March and all that kind of stuff. So they call Jim Boylan and have Jim Boylan do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have him around because why not? You don't have to fire him. I have faith that they're going to get rid of him. I do. I don't think they're going to keep him. And they got him around because he's a faithful employee. And, you know, when he has to, make public appearances, he can do that instead of – he can represent the front office more than players. So – I think that's a small part of it as well. And also, they don't have to fire him right now. I'm confident they'll get rid of him. I think a lot of people have angst because they don't think that AK is going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And articles have to be written because there's nothing to talk about. But I do. AK's in the kitchen cooking, like me and Dave said, making a nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
Stop bothering him. He doesn't have to flip the pancake. He doesn't have to baste the meat at certain times that you think is right. He's a cook. Let him season what he wants to season. And I'm pretty sure we have a good meal.
So Jim Boylan's still here so he can protest?
No, I said he's here for to represent the Bulls, a public face.
Let's not fire him because he got a Black Lives Matter poster.
Hey. AK ain't out there. John
Paxson. Just because he said... Just because he said arrest the murderers of Breonna Taylor.
Well, who you rather see, John Paxson out there or Boylan?
Out there in the street doing, like, the face of the Bulls right now?
Yeah.
I would rather see John Paxson. Especially, seriously, this should be more of his new role since he's not day-to-day.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? He should be more of a face.
Because the Bulls don't have an ambassador unless that's something I don't know about.
Yeah. Let me get him in here on this topic. Your thoughts on Jim Boylan and why he's still here. Are you surprised? Do you have any reasons why he's still here? Or are you afraid that, you know, he's going to be head coach of this team when the season starts back?
I mean, I look at it like this. Why fire him now? You don't have any projected players to take you far into the playoffs. Aren't you paying like two other coaches right now? Yeah. So that's three coaches on payroll. You want a fourth right now? I say let him finish out his contract. Fire him when you get a couple of real, couple more players. Mm-hmm. Build up something. Let's see what the GM does. Maybe they're trying to save a little money right now. It's 2020. The season's basically over for them. So why even make a change right now?
Yeah. I agree with you and Dub, actually. Because I don't see the rush to fire him other than, he's terrible. I get that. You know what I mean? He's horrible, and I don't want him here. I don't even want him anywhere near anything.
Oh, but
the fact that he's already under contract, like you stated, the fact that the season isn't even over technically. So there's still a season going on. There's still like a bubble, situation happening. There's talk of a second bubble, as they call it, what they call it, the Delete Eight, whatever, bubble that they want to bring in. Or my brother called it the Buster Bubble. You know what I'm saying?
The Buster Bubble.
So either way, like Jim Boylan could coach the Buster Bubble and do that, and then you can get him out of here. There may be some coaches they still want to talk to that are in the playoffs, in the bubble right now that they can't speak to or anything like that. So I think it's just a lot of things, and a lot of variables that still have to, happen before, he gets put out of here. But I still believe he's going because
– Oh, yeah, no question.
Nothing AK has done has been illogical and hasn't made basketball sense. Boylan as your coach, it makes no basketball sense if he's your coach next year. You know what I'm saying? I can understand. I can hear argument financially, like you said about, the
– That's it. That's the only argument I got, financially.
That's the only argument I
can. You got two other coaches on payroll. So that's three coaches. And then if you fire them now or even next year, that's still four coaches you got to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure. So who's off the payroll after that?
I think Tibbs is still there. I know Hoiberg, they're still paying. And they signed Boylan to a 3-year deal. So he would still have.
So that's four. That would be four coaches.
And
I think Tibbs would be done after this year, though.
Who is this?
I think Tibbs is done after this year.
Okay.
Okay, so you still got three coaches on payroll once Tibbs is gone. If you decide to fire Boylan.
Go ahead.
My only thing is,
Oh, yeah, I was going to say what Tony's kind of alluding to is that, the Bulls are treating this as if the timeline has been stretched out along with the NBA season. Some people, I guess, are still mentally on like a regular season timeline as if COVID didn't happen. Things have been stretched out to a certain percentage. So their roadmap is just stretched out. So you wouldn't have fired him right now in the regular season. So why, it's stretched out longer. So it could take longer for it to happen down the road. They just put the dates further down the timeline according to the new schedule for the season. And I know it sucks for fans to like have to wait and be impatient because they want somebody gone, but as a business, that's what you do. You just gotta timeline, whatever, stretch it out. This is also what happened. And Tony, you get a great point. You can't pay all these coaches, man. You just can't.
Go ahead, D.
No, I agree with y'all too. The reality is you can't pay all these coaches. The only reason it's a big deal to me because like if we trying to attract like top players. Who the coach is, it might deter some people from coming here. It's like, I don't want to do everything. And, Dub, you talk about the timeline. The timeline is different because of COVID, too. But it's not going to be a regular offseason either. So the championship is going to be late October, and then they want this new season to start in December. So they got a month off, maybe a few weeks off, and they're back in training camp. You know what I'm saying? Not the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls going to be off, but, like, the NBA. So, like, yeah. The timeline not the same, like we late in the year, but like you don't want to wait until this season is officially over to make a coaching change. And when you working with 3 weeks to get them acclimated, implemented and stuff like that too. So, but but when it come down to dollars too, so I get the point that everybody making those dollars. So,
yeah, how worried, like on a scale of like 1 to 10, are you that Jim Boylan will be back here coaching the team?
You know what? Like I said, I read an article the other day. That AK is like second guessing. Well, he never publicly said he's gonna get rid of him, but he's taking a liking to Jim Boylan. So I'm 50-50 now that he might stay. You gotta, if he sees something of, I figure if you see something, even if it's small, that you like about Jim Boylan, in the back of your mind, it's just like, well, we are paying this dude. We gonna pay him regardless. That might be just enough to bring him back. And plus, in his mind, he knows, like, okay, next year we're not prepared to win anything. Mm-hmm. You know, next year we're not gonna win anything too. So might as well just see what we got. Let this dude play it out. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't like we got, you know, we even got a fighter's chance next year too. So I'm 50-50. He might be back.
Yeah, but you know, we talked about how, you know, the players interview with AK, and I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that every player doesn't hate William Boylan, but I don't think he was spoken to in the kind of way to AK. So I think the players probably as a whole, as a unit, don't want the coach back, and it'll look very bad for AK to like sort of like not accept the thoughts of the players and dismiss it in a certain way, and then bring him back. If it's the case, most players don't want him back, and they express that to AK. That's a big like swing and a miss as far as your relationship with the players. And I know it's all about him, supposedly, in his relationship with the players, listening to the players. So the players told him they don't like Jim Boylan and they're still bring him back despite that. That's kind of weird. It's kind of, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, because your core three is Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and I guess now Coby White. And you could throw Wendell Carter Jr. in there too, if you like. And of all those players, I've heard nothing but each player have an actual issue with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as basketball is concerned, like, you've seen the video of Zach LaVine, you know, like, with Jim Boylan's calling timeouts when they're down 15. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, 10 seconds left, and that video of Zach LaVine looking like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are we calling the timeout? Mm-hmm. Lauri Markkanen's game, you can just see that, looking at his game and how that changed, you know what I mean, how much that affects it and things like that. And Coby White actually spoke about how the coaching staff, you know, told him not to take mid-range shots anymore when he got there as a rookie. He said, and which is what he does, you know what I'm saying? It's what he's good at. And so, which is why he struggled so much, you know, his rookie season in the first half of it. And you saw him kind of say, you know what, whatever, I'm going to do it how I do it. And that's why he balled out like he did in that February, because he didn't care anymore, you know. And they still have him coming off the bench behind Satoransky, for goodness sake. But Jim Boylan, like, you've seen them affect their play on the court. You know, nobody really grew under him. Nobody really developed. Like, everybody kind of just regressed. You know, Zach LaVine is just dope. So, you know, he's Zach LaVine. But Wendell Carter Jr., bro, man, he was out there like Brad Sellers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the regression was terrible. What'd you say, Doug?
Then watch your mouth, man, comparing them.
Yo, yo, man, that's what it looked like. Like, it just looked bad. Like, he looked confused. Like, he didn't know how to play basketball anymore. And you know he dope. You know what I mean? You know he can hoop. So, to watch just them regress like that. But as far as, like, being worried, honestly, D, I'm still not worried at all. Like,
You're 100% sure he ain't going to be on the sideline come
I'm 99.9% sure that he will not be the coach of the Chicago Bulls. Because it makes no basketball sense at all. And nothing I've seen AK do since he's been in the kitchen nothing had anything to be illogical. You know what I'm saying? Everything makes total sense that he's
doing. He was brought in for business reasons as well. I mean, he got to manage the business. You know, like, I'm sure Jerry got money, but Jerry don't want to be paying four coaches.
Right, right. I understand that. But, dude, do you want your team to be better or not? Like, you brought this dude in here because you want your team to be better. I understand he brought in a manager.
I agree with that, and that's what I want.
Right.
I can't mention that he thinks the players are under the sheeting. You know, of course, he has to say, you know, pleasant things about the players. You know, he's not going to say anything, you know, bad, but he said he's watching video and these players should be better. And that's like, hello, knock on Jim Boylan. Like, these players suck, and they should be better than what they are.
They're not good. You got anything you want to add to that?
No, I just agree with you guys. I'm not – I don't feel worried that he's going to be there. I feel like you, Dave. Either he is going to be there, like, that much of a percentage, mm-hmm. or he's not. And I tell you what, though, the question is, who do they hire for coach?
That's the question, yeah.
That's the question to me. Who do they hire, you know? Because once he's there, or even if he's there, who do you want? Mm-hmm. Who should they hire? Who should be their fourth coach on the payroll?
The guy I like, you know, is my man out of Philly, you know, where Mark Eversley just came from, the assistant okay. for the Spurs. I like his whole pedigree. And plus the fact that he married to Nia Long. So you won for that already, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, like you
Udoka?
Udoka, yes. Udoka, man. And I mean, everything about his makeup, I was like, yeah, this dude, it makes basketball sense. You know what I'm saying? So, and like I said, you know, got Nia. Like he's a winner. Obviously, he's a winner.
I love to see Nia on the sidelines of the games, bro.
Nia Long on the side. And you know how mad I'm because we don't have no celebrities here. You know what I'm saying?
We had Gabrielle Union for a little bit of time.
That's it.
Yeah. And they chased her away. So.
Right on up out of here, man. But yeah. So let me ask you guys, though, about one of the players, which is Coby White, who had a, you know, came on in the second half of the season. Historically, he had three straight games of 30 plus points as a rookie off the bench. That's never been done before. How excited are you guys about Coby White going forward? And is he now, like, just seeing your little snapshot of what you've seen Coby White do? Do you guys put him, like, in the core of this Bulls group going forward, or you still think he needs to develop a little bit? No, you go ahead.
Yeah, if AKA truly likes his roster, he has to be, right? If anything, it's shown that he has to have the ball in his hands. He has to sort of, like, be the number one or two at minimum on the court. And he has to have the ball. And you know, Dave, I value – I'm pretty sure people in the NBA value people who can take have the ball, dribble the ball, and create their own shot, which is what he can do.
Yeah.
And he did that successfully as a rookie, you know, later on in the season, you know, so sky's the limit for him. He can only improve that. And so I think we'll have even more of a bona fide scorer on the team. And, yeah, I see nothing but – I don't think that was an aberration. I think you saw a guy who sort of, like, figured out what he could do on the floor. You know, after he ignored the coaches and said, I'm going to do what I did for my whole life as a basketball player.
Yes.
You know, and know the adults that don't know ball and do my thing on the court. And you saw him sort of like say, oh, I could do this. This is not that hard for me to do. I could score. I take these shots. He just started out as a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, in a crappy season. So I could see only, you know, him getting much, much better down the road. And he has to be a key component. The Bulls. You don't just give up scores like that. It's hard to find scores like that in the NBA.
Yeah. Tony, let me ask you, man, going forward, what the future for Coby White? Is he part of this core or?
Hey, bro, I remember being on Twitter yelling, why doesn't he get to start? And yeah, he needs developing. But to me, the best developing is throwing that baby into the water and finding out if he can swim.
Yeah.
So he can swim. And we found out in the second half of the season, more so than the first half, that this dude could be something.
Yeah.
But he needs that opportunity. He needs that chance. He needs a coach that sees him that way and will allow him to throw some of those games on his back and lead that team. But first, we need a coach that sees that in him because he definitely has something.
Mm-hmm. He got something, man.
He 30 points in, what, three games, you said?
Three games, 30 plus.
Off the bench?
Games, bro, yeah.
Bro, when they said that he was the first Bulls rookie to do that, and I was thinking, like, damn, Ben Gordon didn't do that?
Gordon didn't do it.
No. That's crazy, bro. So, yeah.
D, go ahead, man, with your point about Coby White.
Nah, I agree with everybody. He's definitely a part of the core moving forward. Take it a step up. I would say give him the keys and let him drive the car because he showed flashes, man. He actually proved me wrong. He showed that he's a legit NBA player. He's a good NBA player. He got potential to – and I don't know if he got potential to lead a team to a championship, but he has potential to be a really good player and a really big piece to a championship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, I think he showed more potential than anybody we got on the team to be that piece. You know, him and I would say Wendell. Like, and I will used to say that about marketing, but
say it again.
Dude,
come on, man.
Hey man, look, I hope it's the coach's fault that Markkanen is playing the way he's playing.
I hope so too, because he kind of act like he didn't want to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to embrace I know I'm good, but like I don't want to be that guy for this team.
I just feel like when you that guy, man, I don't care what the coaches say. You take the ball and you tell everybody, move out the way. This is my game.
Thank you. Kobe got that. Kobe got that. I can be that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Kobe got that. LaVine got that. You know?
LaVine got it, but I don't.
LaVine got it. Because he is consistent. But,
I don't think as bad as he thinks he wants it. You know,
LaVine thinks he's better than what he is, but he is good though. I'm not saying he's not good, but like LaVine, he's not good. LaVine can't be our best player, man. But like,
yeah,
a good number two,
a three. Like if he's a three, like if we had
how many threes, you know, that two players, 50 points, bro. They can put up 50 points in a game, bro.
Dude, I'm telling you, you look at everybody winning chips, man. They got a solid third person that's really good. You know what I'm saying? The last year championship, you would say at that point last year, Siakam was probably that third best player. I mean, that dude is great. He's good. Beast. You know what I'm saying? Like
that was one who had to prove that he could be a beast and tell everybody, move aside, let me get this.
Right.
Again.
But he's proven this year that he was better than what his role was, but he played his role as like the third guy for this team to win the championship.
If Zach
had two more alphas here and he can be like our third option, might not be bad.
Yeah, Siakam kind of parallels to me what Lauri Markkanen should have been. Siakam came in and got better and better and then was like, okay, I'm really good. I'm doing my thing on the floor. Markkanen is like the opposite. I think his mentality is just not there. And he's even said at points verbally that he doesn't kind of want to be the man, you know.
Just wants to be the Siakam guy. Way more versatile though, man. He got way more in his bag than Markkanen. Yeah. I think so.
Maybe. But let me stop. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, get on my guy, Lauri, man. I'm telling you.
I know you love Dave. I know you love Lauri.
Nice.
Man, I have not seen.
But I get what y'all saying. You know what I'm saying? When you say
I've seen it in flashes.
You got to have that mentality. You got to have that. But, dude, y'all act like cats always coming to the league with this. Like, that ain't just what it is. Some dudes get it later. And they understand, and it clicks for them later. And then they say, oh, I'm supposed to be the best on the floor. Some dudes, it don't happen for in year three under Jim Boylan. Like, some dudes, it just don't click.
Like who?
Like Dirk Nowitzki.
I knew he was going to say Dirk.
Did you not see it? Yeah. Bro, take your hand. You know yourself. Because that's what happened.
I have another name, Oladipo. Oladipo came to his own.
That's another one. That's true.
Yeah, but Oladipo, as soon as he came in the league, even though he wasn't that guy, he always felt like he had a green light. He's on Orlando. He was still putting up shots every time he had a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, who's on Orlando? Who's on Orlando?
With him, he was there. I don't remember who was there.
Dude, they ain't had nobody. They had Victor Oladipo start spreading the news out there singing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they
how many years did it take for Dirk to hit the flip the switch?
For me, it took like 6-7 years for him to flip that switch.
How many years have Markkanen been in the league now? Three?
This is his third year. This is his third season.
All right, well, look, he getting close to that.
He getting close.
Fourth to six.
Man. I agree.
How many years did it take Siakam to get to that point?
To get last year, like this year, like he just got to that point. You know what I mean?
But how many years has he played?
What's this, his third year?
He's young. Yeah, this is third year.
Bruh.
Last year, second year.
Dude, the Kawhi effect.
He got a championship, and he played with Kawhi Leonard. And he
the
had
Kawhi the effect.
Like, it's a whole different monster. All I know is Lloyd Markkanen, and all y'all can agree with this, what you saw this year was not what he was last year. It was a complete regression.
Agreed.
I didn't like him last year.
But he was better than he was this year. This year, he was trash, bro. Like, last year,
it was, I agree.
Made me pull out the Lloyd highlights of last year, bro. Like, I go pull them out. That dude was.
Dude, even this year though, even his good games this year.
Yeah.
Like when he would drop like 35 or something, but yo, his percentage was horrible, man. He putting up 35 shots and going 11 for 30. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Yeah, man. It's.
I don't know. I have yet to be impressed with him yet. I have yet to be impressed with
him. I mean, even off the first game this season when I watched him drop 35 and 17, it only took 1 3. Like, dude was doing his thing. But
he put up like 32 shots that game.
Dude, but Boylan told him, dude, I don't want you doing that. He was like, I want you getting rebounds and starting to break. And then Lori said it himself, like, dude, I don't know. Because Jim Boylan was like, Lori Martin was touching the ball at least 80 times. And he was like, he cut that in half because he was like, I want you to get these rebounds. And Lori was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to get 40 rebounds a game. Like, what you talking about, dude? Like, am I supposed to do it like that? No. Dude, off of pick and rolls. Lori Markkanen is awesome off pick and rolls. They ran 14 of them. He took 14 shots off of pick and roll this year. 14. He took 203 shots just standing there. They turned him into Tyler Zeller. They turned him into Frank Borkowski. Like, dude, they tried to make him Luke Kornet. Like, this is trash.
You know what's funny, Dave? You know what's funny, Dave? When they drafted him, John Paxson said he was that type of player. He said, Luke Kornet needs a point guard to give him the ball open in the corner. That's exactly what he said.
Dude, and remember, I've screened that 1,000 times. Like, when he's got a dope point guard, like, he reacts. Because, you know, I was watching stuff of him in Finland. And the point guard they had in him in Finland is off the chain from Finland standards, let me say. No, no disrespect. But
he's out here and one in Finland.
You know what I mean? Right. He's nice. Dude is a real dope point guard. You know what I'm saying? And he makes that game easy for Lori Markkanen. So you can't ask him to do stuff he just can't do. You got to let him play his game, man. Don't turn him into a spot up shooter.
I agree with that.
It's trash. So yeah.
Sometimes on the court, I feel like his teammates kind of know he's kind of passive. Like, I don't see these teammates look to him to be like, it's not like, oh, Laura doesn't really want the ball. I'm just going to take a shot myself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see that on the court, relationships between players. And you can tell who wants to shoot and what players want to give somebody else the ball to score because they know they want the ball. And too many times on the court, I see the Bulls see Markkanen maybe open or something in the post. You can kind of tell. They're like, Markkanen doesn't really want the ball. He'd rather be mm-hmm. So the teammates are telling you his personality. It can change. I hope it does. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
That's a heck of a change because it wasn't that last year, dude. It wasn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. But he was involved in the offense, though. He's more involved in the offense last year than he was this year. He just was. And this is another reason Jim Boylan got to go, in my opinion. He got to be out. Oh, yeah. I want to know, Dub, and let me ask you first, the starting five of the Bulls going forward, going into next season, I want to know who you think should be the starting five for the Bulls next season.
I want to see Gafford in the starting lineup. I want to see Wendell at power forward, and I want to see Kobe White.
And who at power forward? Okay, because D got ice chips going in.
Did he fall out or something?
You know what I'm saying? My bad. Yeah, no, I ain't know your bad. Like that's all we
need. You're thirsty, man.
H2O.
Snap, bro.
It'd be nice if the Bulls kind of go more traditional with the power forward and center kind of thing going on. Mm-hmm. So, Wendell Carter, power forward, guy for the center. And, Kobe as point guard and basically had no bench, but I don't care. that doesn't give
you
anything.
So you would put Markkanen at three?
Yeah, I like Markkanen at three sometimes. Depending on the matchup. Gafford does have to start at center in every game. I think that center position could float. It could float more than what it is. Mm-hmm. I think Gafford has earned the ability to start at sometimes depending on the matchup. I really do. I definitely want to see Kobe White in the starting lineup. And of course, Marcus succeeds against smaller players. Anytime he gets somebody short on him, he has a mismatch, especially a small forward or whatever, you take him to the post if it's a smaller guy, he plays well. He plays well. So I'm for Gafford starting more. The center position could be floating, between Gafford and Wendell Carter. And I want Kobe White in the starting lineup.
Starting five for the Bulls next season for you.
I'm gonna be similar to Dub. I definitely want Kobe starting. Kobe and LaVine backcourt. Assuming we still got the same roster, I'm gonna go Otto Porter at the three. Mm-hmm. Markkanen at the four. Wendell Carter at the five.
Okay, so you still want Wendell at that center position?
Yeah. He can do it.
I don't know.
He's most effective. He's most effective, honestly, when he's just being cleaned up in the paint. Just let him be down there.
Okay. Tone, you're starting five for the Bulls next season.
I kind of agree with y'all a little bit, or maybe mostly. Definitely want Kobe and LaVine starting in the back. And in the front court, see, I'm kind of I think about Otto Porter because I like him, but I kind of picture a bigger and more athletic lineup. I mean, Otto Porter is pretty athletic, but I'm thinking bigger, though. Like, I want to see – this is going to sound weird, but I want to see Laurie at the three. Just weirdly want to see him at the three. I want to see Wendell Carter at the four, and then I want to see Gafford at the five.
Yeah, Tony and Tony on the same page.
Yeah, I want Kobe. Of course, I want Kobe and LaVine as your backcourt. There's no doubt about that. I want to see Otto Porter Jr. at the three, even though my faith in Otto Porter Jr. is very, very low. The man is the second highest paid athlete in Chicago, and number one is Khalil Mack. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, come on, bro. Like, he's been a disappointment.
That ain't his fault.
He's been a straight-up disappointment. And, you know, when you look at him, you think he's coming in to do work. You know what I mean? He fits all the – he checks all the boxes. You know what I mean? Stretch three, can shoot the three, you know, long, tall, can run, can pass, can do all these things. But, one, he came in out of shape, and he wasn't healthy. He gets injured a lot throughout his career. I ain't just saying this year. Throughout his career, he gets injured. It's what happens. But I got to give him another shot, you know, because I'm not going to let him lose his job to the – injury on this. I still want to give him another shot and see what he good, but you know, I'm gonna be ready to get on him if he ain't on it. You know what I'm saying? Real quick. Putting Laurie at the four, and I want to see Gafford at the five, man. I really do. I want to see Daniel. I think he's earned that. Like, he fits so well for me perfectly, especially because I'm thinking about Laurie. Like, I think he and Laurie play better together because he don't need the basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still gets the basketball. Like, he blocks.
Exactly.
Runs the floor. Exactly. Starts the break. Like, that's what he do. And that's perfect for a guy like Laurie who needs to touch the basketball. And Zach needs to touch it. And Kobe needs to touch it. And Otto Porter Jr. makes everything run. So, having Gafford in there, a dude who's like, dude, I'm going to just get these dunks. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get these blocks. I'm going to get these boards.
Mm-hmm.
I feel he's a perfect fit at that. Now, I do want to see Wendell Carter Jr. and Gafford together on the floor. On you know, several occasions. I want to see
how that works.
You know what I mean? I really want to see how that dynamic works. Because I think Wendell is playing out of position, bro. Like, the day I found out he was 6'9", everything changed for me. I didn't know he was 6'9". I thought he was 7 feet tall. When I found out he was 6'9", everything made sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
I think he's out of position, man. And he got a little more finesse to his game. And you're right, D. Like, him being that cleanup dude, he's very successful with that. You know what I mean? Because even how he's playing, he's still averaging like 10-9. You know what I mean? Which is cool, but I think he has the potential to be way better than that. And he got to be way better than that. And I just don't like him at the center position, man.
I agree with Dave, man.
Yeah. So that's the starting five for the Bulls. Now, we've depressed ourselves enough. We got that sadness. So how about we get in some joy? So since we've spent so much time talking about the sadness of the Chicago Bulls, let's get into some actual joy and some happiness. That something that brings us joy every year, something the fans look forward to all the time, and that is the annual BOW Tournament of Trash. We've had some awesome ones. Probably our greatest one was Worst LeBron is Better than Jordan Arguments, which is probably just one of our favorites. We also did Worst Bulls Free Agents. We did Worst First Round Picks by the Chicago Bulls. We've done some things. We've done some awesome things. I've enjoyed them all. Did you have a favorite one, Doug? Was LeBron your favorite one?
I think the LeBron is my favorite one.
Okay.
And looking back, we got some stats about LeBron wrong, but it didn't matter anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it was there's just us no talking because, you know, we just do our thing. But yeah, that show was fun because it's because there's a lot of just, like, illogical stuff. that's all been stated, and it really has highlighted the arguments that made no sense at all.
You know, and I believe Dirk was just too good, was the winner that year.
Yeah. Yeah, Dirk is just too good. I think Shannon Sharpe, Dirk is just too good.
Yeah, just too good. Oh,
even though he averaged like, what, 27 points, Dave?
Hell yeah.
Six rebounds, like half a block.
Supposed to be LeBron, is what I'm saying. Like, nobody better
than him. That's like an all-time final stat line right there.
That's that sound like to me. You know what I mean? Like, what do I know? What do I know? But this year, we did something here. And what we did this year is we are doing worst Jim Boylan quotes.
Oh my God.
Jim Boylan has said some things.
Oh my God. This is about to be funny as hell.
He's got some
sad. I have one request, Dave.
Yes, sir.
When you say the quote, do it in a Jim Boylan voice.
I'll do my best, dude. I'll do my best.
Okay.
Oh, right, Lord, this is about to be fun.
We broke this down into two regions. This year, it is the jacked region and the juiced region. Those are two of Jim Boylan's favorite things to say. He's jacked and juiced. Ready to go. So we broke this down to two regions. We brought on D. Jackson. We'll let us know which moves on to round two. We have the what we call See Red Fred rule, where we preserve the integrity of tournament trash if something ridiculous tries to get passed on. Dub and I both are allowed to say no into one. But we've only had to do it on one show, and that was the See Red Fred show. We've only had to do it. But we had to put that rule in place. So
yeah, Dickie Sickens winning something.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. B, you will decide who moves on to the next round. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready, man.
There's the jacked region and the juiced region. Which region would you like to start with, my friend?
Let the juice loose.
Let the juice loose. Yo, D, you got the juice now.
Nah. Old J did it. Nah.
So what, can you say that?
In the barbershop, Yo, low-key Dave look like him, you know?
I can't get Q. I gotta get old Sandy and the Tater. I can't get Q.
You look like, yeah.
All right, we'll take it. In the juice region, sir, the number one seed. It's a classic. Preparing the Kid for the Road. Going against the number 8 seed, the Field of Dreams quote. Now, Jim Boylan famously said that when he was talking about getting the Bulls team ready, he was like, you know, I'm preparing the kid. My job is to prepare the kid for the road, not the road for the child. And these are men. That was his quote.
And that one got potential already to go all over.
Okay.
Nah, and then the a couple more dreams, that was even worse.
He's not good, man. And then the Field of Dreams quote, a reporter asked him, what makes you think the winds will come? And Jim Boylan says, if you build it, they will come. Have you seen that movie? That was... So they're both Jim Boylan-esque awesomeness quotes. D. Jackson, your decision, sir. Who moves on to the next round?
Dude, this I could almost justify an upset.
It's up to you, sir.
I'm gonna go prepare the kids for the road.
Preparing the kid for the road.
Yeah, because that's yeah. That's I'm gonna need you to do the voice next time.
I'll do my best, man. I promise you, I'll do my best. Dub, you okay with me?
He just can't dial it up like the Love You voice.
Yeah, exactly. I just can't pull it up like that. What can I say about that? You just can't pull it up like that, man. You know. Dub, you okay with this? Moving on here.
Yeah, I'm okay with moving on. I was actually okay with the upset as well. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the game went to overtime, obviously, so it was a tough one.
Yeah.
Let's move to the next one. The number two seed, which is a dub favorite, which was the five player substitute when he subbed out, you know, his five starters twice in the game, which led to a mutiny right after that against the number seven seed, which is the road dog mentality. Jim Boylan, of the five-player sub, when he was asked, he said Popovich had done it and nobody says anything else about it. He didn't understand what the big fuss was.
Bro, I don't need to know what that's going against.
It's going against the road dog mentality, because no one knows what a road dog mentality is. So after the game, they asked him, he was talking about the game, and he said, "That's my mentality, road dog mentality. We'll run when we can, but we're going to set up, make people guard us through the clock. That's a Coach Pop thing, and I believe in it." Again, these are two Coach Pop things he's brought up already. So I don't know what road dog mentality means, but the five-player substitution quote is also just as ridiculous. D, who moves on?
Yeah, the road dog, that's ridiculous as well. But fam, he justified taking five because Pop did it. Like, so far, that's going to win. Like, that's going to beat every that's going to beat that number one seed for the last.
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, yo, wow. Hey, Pop did it. I'm like, hey, Boylan, why you buy them retro nines? Ridiculous, man.
Oh my god.
And low key, Tibbs said that a couple times too about Phil Jackson. It's like, why you paying Luol and Derek so many minutes? He's like, Jordan and Scotty did it. Talk to Phil.
Oh yeah, again, champions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But still.
Good God. Good Lord. All right. Moving on. The number three seed. Felicio is our best screener.
Hold on, stop. I don't want to hear what that's going against. I don't want to hear what that's going against. Dave, advance that. Advance it.
In the same sentence.
Advance that, man. Hey. He won.
I gotta read it. I have to read it, D. I gotta read the 16.
Okay. Okay, man, go ahead.
The sixth seed. He's a football player. He was speaking about what he likes most about Shaq Harrison. And one of the things he likes about Shaq Harrison is that he was a football player. Has that tough mentality. So, which is why, you know, he will put him in, like, at the three, you know, and let him play that because he believes in football player. You know, he's tough. You know?
Okay. But I can almost get what he was trying to – the point he was trying to make or whatever.
The basketball, dude.
Felicio setting screens, son. Move that, man. Like, why is that a point you have to make, man? Like,
he's our best screener. Come on, man. I mean, he's the best one.
So I stand corrected what I said last round. Okay. That one is definitely going to win. I don't see it getting more ridiculous than that, man.
Oh. You forgot where you at. This is the tournament of champions. It's about the ridiculousness. But let's get more ridiculous.
I want to know the question he was asked where he had to respond, Felicio's our best screener.
I swear to God.
Trust me, I will find that information for you, sir. Absolutely. number four seed. This is going to be a tough one for me. I think this is a tough matchup. The number four seed, Chris told me he could do it against the number five seed, double lose. The number four seed was in reference to a jump ball situation against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it was a, you know, tie up. So, you know, they went to half court, you know, to do the jump ball. The Cavaliers sent 6'11" Larry Nance Jr. to do the jump ball. The Chicago Bulls sent 6'4" Chris Dunn to do the jump ball. And when they asked Jim Boylan why he sent Chris Dunn to do this, he said, because Chris told me he could do it. Number five, the double lose is in reference again to the at the mutiny after the 56-point loss when he wanted to do, you know, one of those intense practices. And he said, you know, if we don't have those practices, you know, after coming off, this is how you double lose. When you don't have that practice after coming off a loss like that, it's how you double lose. No one ever heard this term before. It's a new term. So Chris told me he could do it. Double lose. He Jackson.
Hey, dog. This is funny, man.
I'm stumped. Can I
told you it's a can I told you, bro. Yeah,
can I call a lifeline?
Where is your lifeline?
Okay, I was gonna call on Tone, but go ahead, girl.
Oh, Tone, you can call Tone with your lifeline. That's fine.
Hey, you gotta go with Chris. Told me he can do it, man.
I do, but double loses is double lose is insane too, though.
6'4", Chris Dunn.
It's Larry Nance.
6'11", Duncan Vertical. High flying, yeah, this is true. That is Larry Nance Jr.
Double lose, man.
Double lose is hilarious.
Double lose, bro.
Double lose is hilarious, but Chris told me he could do it.
Right,
bro.
He saw 7 foot Larry Nance look. You can do it.
You got this. You got this. Look at the scout report and say he's like 6'11". And he look at Chris Dunn. He can literally say Chris
Dunn. Y'all make a great point. Advance that one. Chris told me.
He was like.
I think I can do it, coach. I think I got this one, coach. You sure?
Double lose is wild, though, yo. Double lose is wild.
Double lose is wild.
Oh, man. Okay. That's it for the juice region. to the jack region. Because, yes, D, there's more foolishness abound, sir.
but so far, the juice region, the early favorite is Felicio setting pick. That's the early favorite, dog. Yo, that number three might go all the way, son. For real. That's a badass three, man.
Hey, dude. Hey, it's tough, bro. Hey. Go to the Jack.
Early favorite.
Oh, my God.
The number one seed in the Jack region, which is a classic. Luke Kornet is Robert Horry.
Going to
number eight seed because I said so. the number one seed, he compared Luke Kornet, and he said he compared his comparable person player is Robert Horry because he can play a two-way, you know, he can shoot the three, he can block shots, and he thinks he's just as good as Robert Horry, to which Stacey King famously responded, "What?"
Yeah, that's the
yeah, Robert Horry. He's a great player. That was a classic, and it goes up against the number eight seed. So when they asked him, you know, Denzel Valentine, you know, wasn't playing at one point, and they asked him why isn't Denzel Valentine starting tonight, and he said because I said so. You know, he's speaking to a child. You know who's that. Daddy, can I go outside? No, why not? Because I said so. It's one of those.
Okay.
DJ, right, so. Luke Kornet is Robert Horry.
Hey, man, you already know, dog.
hold on, this is tougher than you think, man.
It really is, though.
Because the number, the Lou Cornett is Robert Horry is the more ridiculous statement. But I kind of like because I said so. It's like, are you questioning me? Like, I do something even more egregious just because you want to question me because I said so. Like,
I'm playing Kobe at the five. I'm playing Kobe.
Dude, because I said so. This is tough, honestly, dude.
It's tough, man. I mean, they're both terrible and they're both bad. And
hey, man.
Like, they're both horrible. But
hey, I feel like you need to go with Lou Cornett is Robert Horry. Because
I mean, that's the more ridiculous statement.
It's ridiculous, but the other statement needs some kind of background. Like, if you just read that Jim Boylan said, Lou Cornett is Robert Horry.
That's ridiculous.
If you just that's found ridiculous. That statement, just out of the blue, you don't need background for that. You don't need context for that. You just need Lou Cornett is Robert Horry.
Dude, you but you can like, put...
I mean, he told him he's out. They asked him, why is he out of the rotation? He said, because I said.
I said
and then went on to be like, well, he needs to be, he needs to stay ready. Like,
you can put because I said so on a t-shirt and rock that and just, with nothing else. You know what I'm saying? That line is just so.
And he also.
It's awesome.
To further add to the because I said so, he said he needs to stay ready because I think he needs some seasoning. He needs to play and he needs to grow. So he needs to play and grow, but then why is he out of the rotation? Because I said.
See, man,
but
yo.
Lou Cornett is Robert Horry. That's also very, very ridiculous.
I mean, even your boy said, what?
Stacey King, right? He made Stacey King come out of character. Stacey King came out of character, and the basketball in Stacey King was like, what? Dub, let me ask you, Dub, who do you feel? Which one is Dub?
Compared to anything, is like,
oh, good.
So like, the fact that Horry, the fact, it explains all the bad decisions, like not playing Gaffer, like, because you think Lou Cornett is Robert Horry. Like that's like if you're thinking that as in your brain as a coach that somehow he's like Robert Horry. First of all, he has fascinated with San Antonio. You need to get that out of the brain.
Yeah,
this ain't San Antonio.
Yeah. He's got a point there. Sir.
That Robert Horry like shivered when he said that. He was like, "What the hell happened to me, dude?"
Okay,
no, you can't compare him to it. How many championships he has? How many game winning shots?
I mean.
Eight? I mean, what? Seven? Ten? Why you conjure up that idea?
So also, D, for context, I'm going to let you hear. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
Oh, Lord. We get to hear it? Oh, yeah, great.
I'll let you hear this and go from there. I'll play the whole thing for you. This is starting with Leo Rahimi speaking about it. So here it is.
Jim Boylan said that he reminds him of Robert Horry. That was something that Boylan brought up yesterday at practice, Neil and Stacey. Of course, Boylan spent time as an assistant with the Rockets. And he said Horry was one of the first guys who could rim protect at a high level and make threes. We all know Robert Horry could shoot a three. Lou Cornett with one made three tonight, but that's the idea. He said Lou Cornett has rim protection, block shots, and he liked how he guarded Giannis and Antetokounmpo in the first half against the Bucks, gentlemen.
First of all, shout out to Rahimi for saying that with a straight face.
Hey, hold on. Hey, Stacey put him over the top, yo.
MJ was looking at the iPad. Hey, the boy MJ was looking at the iPad like.
Stacey put him over the top, yo. Stacey put him over. Alright. Yeah, run that
game. I remember that game. I cracked up laughing when he won.
Dude, we were dying when we watched that degree. Oh my god. So D Jackson, who moves on, sir?
Yeah, Stacey put that one over the top.
Okay.
Boy, that is Robert Ory. Yo, that was tougher than I anticipated, though.
Yeah, man, both these 1-8 seeds are tough. Actually, all of them have been tough, you know, because he says some ridiculous things. Okay, the number two seed, the Boylan Classic, Bulls Across the Chest against the number seven seed, Vocal in the Meal Room. So Jim Boylan always talks about playing for the name on the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. So he always brings up, you know, playing, you got to play for that team on the front of the jersey, Bulls Across the Chest. That's what matters, guys. You know, you got to play for that. You know, a very high school quote. It's a Jim Boylan-esque. Who's like, he watched Hoosiers all the time. This is something that you would say. The number seven seed, the Vocal in the Meal Room, again, he was talking about Chris Dunn and all the great things he brings, you know, to the team. And one of the things is he's a vocal part of our meal room, our meetings, and our videos. That's why he likes him so much. So
these Wait. What kind of room?
Yes.
like when they got wrapped up sandwiches. I smell an upset. I smell an upset, dude. Hold on. So one of his attributes is he sound good next to the roast beef. I smell an upset, yo. Y'all can veto me if y'all want to, but I'm going number seven.
Number seven. All right, we got an upset. Dub, what do you feel about this?
Who, me?
Yeah, what do you feel about this?
You gonna veto me?
I'm okay with it. I think it's a wonderful choice. It's the most silliest thing. It's more sillier than Bulls Across the Chest. Mm. That kind of has logic. The other one just has no logic at all.
Yeah. Mm. Like the way he looks about a potato salad is just, I don't know. Like, he's just dying, man.
No.
I know that was your, like, the number two is one you like the best, Bulls Across the Chest.
No, it's a classic. It's a Jim Boylan classic.
Bull Across the Chest.
Across the Chest is a classic.
About that bull. That bull across the chest.
It's a classic. But I have no problem. I mean, this is what the tournament is for, sir. This is all about that. So the upset, the number two seed, is out of here. And Vocal in the Meal Room will move on.
Sounds crazy as hell.
You're getting to my favorite right here. Because this one, when I heard it, made me pause for a few minutes and when I was watching it with the Bulls Outsiders crew, and I didn't speak and I just looked and stared because I couldn't believe he said this. The number three seed, Giannis struggles against little guards. Against the number six seed, he's a Zephlophoid. The number three seed, Dean, let me break it down for you. He was, when Giannis and the Bulls played, you know, in the fourth quarter, mind you, he decided to guard him with Ryan Arcidiacono.
Yeah.
And they asked him why he put Ryan Arcidiacono on 7-foot-tall MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. It was because he said Giannis struggles against little guards. So if you watch that fourth quarter, all you saw was Giannis go to the paint, throw the ball off the glass, get the rebound, and dunk himself. You just saw him do that so many times. So that's the reason he had Arcidiacono guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo, because he says Giannis struggles against little guards. The number six seed, he's a Zephlophoid. I don't know if you guys have seen Men in Black, but they were asking him about Chris Dunn, and he loves Chris Dunn because he says he's a Zephlophoid. And and the Zephlophoid, if you remember in the beginning of Men in Black, was that thing Will Smith was chasing on top of the rooftop that can run real fast and also, you know, didn't have eyelids, they blink like this way with their eyes. But I looked up a Zephlophoid's strengths, and it said it has high speed agility and can climb vertical surfaces barehanded.
And well, that's why he had to do the jump ball. Okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what he loves. D Jackson, who moves on in this round, sir?
Dave. This is your fault. No, this is your fault, Dave.
Okay.
Because Zepp LaFoy, like, you misranked that one. Dude, I'm not trying to be Mr. Upset, dude, but that is ridiculous.
I don't mind.
Dude, like,
is it
come on, he got something against Chris Dunn, man.
No, what were you saying?
Dude, I got
that's ridiculous that someone, you know, eight or nine, whatever tall he is, guarding the MVP of the league.
That's more stupid. That's more stupid.
Okay.
In the fourth, D.
Yeah.
In the fourth.
But, dude, but like, what makes you think of Zepp LaFoy in the interview about a basketball player? Like, they didn't ask him, like, who should win best supporting actor. Zepp LaFoy, something. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did that.
Man, he watched it twice in the hotel room before the game.
Watched in the meal room. That's what they do. They watch me in the
black. In the meal room.
And then Chris Dunn says something about the movie, and then he like put it all together. Was like, all right.
Oh, that's
nah, stop shooting him bail, yo. Y'all shooting him too much bail. Nope. He do all that.
The decision was
exactly for. He pulls up LaFoy out of his bag, man.
I really was trying to be ridiculous with that damn bail, dog. It is. Damn, dude, I could be his lawyer then.
I hate to go back to back, man, but I that's an upset, man.
Wow. Upset.
Dub, what do you think, Dub? Should we go with the upset?
I disagree with him, but I'm not. Yeah, but hey, that's a man short.
You can veto me, man. I can understand if you veto.
No, it's not a veto. I don't think I'm vetoing this. No, I don't. I'm not vetoing this.
See, look, because the Chris Dunn thing was dumber. But like, but how did he pull that out of the air? Exactly. Like, that, where did that come from? Like, that's why that gotta win. Like. He just grabbed that. It's like
he's in practice one day, like by hour, just looking at Chris Dunn, like, what is he doing? Just like staring at him, like, what is that thing?
Right. He said, you can outrun Will Smith in a foot race. Yeah,
Will Smith still caught him.
He did. And he had his jacket wrapped around his.
Yes,
his
he waist. Did.
Can a Zepp LaFoy dunk without hurting their face? Fall on their face?
That's a good question. Well, they can climb surfaces with their bare hands, so, you know, maybe. Maybe you can have it.
They just can't land right. Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, if you want a veto, I understand.
I don't know. No vetoes for me, sir. This is what the
bro. That's all hilarious to me right now.
Jesus. I think the next guest is going to be pleasantly surprised.
Some of these quotes, I've heard some of them, and then some of them I missed out on. So, right now, like, this is hilarious right now.
All right, so we'll finish it up with the number 4 and 5 seed. These are just Boylan classics. The reason they made this list, because I don't think you can do a list without Boylan classics. The number 4 seed, they battled. They battled. That's a Boylan quote. That's his favorite thing to say. Against the number 5 seed, heart and spirit. Those are two things he loves here. So there's heart, there's spirit, there's bulls across the chest, and there's battled. Those are his things he loves to say. They battled. That's my Jim Boylan voice for you, B. Jackson. They battled. They battled. Battled. No, I love his heart. I love his heart. I love his spirit. You know, those are guys, man. I love them, man. So, D, in your opinion, the number 4 or 5 seed, battled or heart and spirit? Which one moves on?
Toss up, man. Toss up.
It's the 4 or 5 seed is usually hard. So those are tough. Dub, do you have a preference of which one you think should win?
It's tough. I'll just say some advice. Just point out which one you think is more trash.
Mm.
Just one more trash.
Which one I think is the most trash, you said?
Yes, it's the tournament of trash. You'd like you to pick out the one that you feel is the most.
Well, I think Heart and Spirit might be a reach, but like you did the voice for Battle. Like that, like you kind of swaying me.
When I think of him, that's the first thing I think of, man. That's the first word that comes to my head. The battle. Like, because he says it whether they lose by 50 or whether they lose by 3. It's all about they battled.
No, those guys. Yeah, I'm going battle.
That's what it was.
But he loves the heart and spirit. So, D, you say you're going with?
I'm going with battle.
Going with battle. All right. Battle shall move on to the next round. Oh, man. And this is what the tournament is about. So, in the jacked region, because of this, in the jacked region, the number one seed, Luke Cornett, is Robert Horry, will go up against Battled. And the upsets, the number seven seed, Vocal in the Meal Room, will go up against He's a Zephlophoid.
Oh, my, that's, oh, I wish I had to choose that one. Actually, I don't want to choose that one.
In the juiced region, we have Preparing the Kid for the Road going up against Chris Told Me He Could Do It. And we have the number two seed, the five-player sub, going up against D. Jackson's favorite, the number three seed, Felicio Is Our Best Screener.
Yo.
But we, yeah, the tournament's getting real, man. It's getting real. Down to the final eight.
Can I predict the finals?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I'm taking Felicio as the best screener to make it out of the juice region.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to – it's going to be a tough battle in the Jack, okay? But he's going to be met in the finals by – what was the seventh seed?
Vocal in the Meal Room.
Vocal in the Meal Room. Yeah. They going to battle it out, dude. They're going to battle it out. That's my prediction.
All right. Dub, do you like how this went right here? Nope, no problem. No issues with it?
Yeah, I think it looks, it's craziness, man. I like the upsets. It made sense. I know some people that are going to come on after you and going to be like, how in the hell? I think Five Player Sub is going to touch the heart of one of our other guests. Five Player Sub.
Yeah, it depends on who's doing round two.
It's going to touch a nerve.
Touch a nerve.
But,
Tone?
Who's it going to be? Fred?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's all hilarious to me. I'm just laughing my ass off.
Right on, man.
tell Fred don't mess up the tournament, man.
We got a rule for him, man. We got a rule.
Got the rules in place, D. So, you know, he's wild.
Fred rule.
You got Fred rules in place, sir.
Dude, not you. Police Deal is our best screener. Like, like who asked you, fam? Like, like, all right, man.
All right, and that's going to end the first round of the Tournament of Trash. A couple of upsets. But, another fun first round, and can't wait to see what happens in the second round. D. Jackson, thanks again for coming on, sir. Please let people know what's going on with you, where they can find you at, and where they can hear your music.
Unlearn, still in stores, still in DSPs, every digital streaming platform everywhere. It's doing pretty well, so I appreciate everybody who supported. Support it directly, go to djackson.80sbaby, well not, djackson80sbaby.bandcamp.com. You can stream all the music there, you can buy it directly there, you can buy some of the merch there, which is doing good too. So DEE Jackson 82 on all social media. All right?
Man, and then you can check us out at Ball Sports and also at Ball Sports 1, both on Twitter. Chris's account is at Ball Sports 1. I'm very proud of him. He's been on Twitter lately and he's doing a good job, so that's awesome. I'm very serious. Like, I'm very proud of you, sir. You're getting
on. I took some time off, though. Then
I mean, all, you know, like I said, all it took was a pandemic, and, you know.
and you encouraged me because you send me stuff all the time. Like, Chris, you should really talk about this thread right here.
Yeah.
And once in a while, so I got a response.
You know, it's COVID. It's tough, Dub. I see. You know, I understand. But the people want to talk to you. They want to talk to you, bro. But you can check us out on Instagram at BAWL Sports. Chris.
Yeah. Thank you guys, as usual, for supporting us. We got a website, ballsports.com. You can check out the podcast there as well, BAWLsports.com. Shout out to Kevin, man. We have a donate button, and Kevin and consistently has been a great supporter for our podcast financially. You know, he donates routinely. So thank you, Kevin, out there for being a great fan. See you in PayPal. And yeah, man, check out the website there. Also, as you know, we have video, which is awesome. We decided these webcams. Well, they've been at like 1991. We decided to finally get on webcam and have video. And we are developing a small YouTube channel. So check out YouTube for us at Ball Sports. Just search Ball Sports. It should come up. We'll promote it a little more on Twitter and stuff for the exact URL. But we're going to have some podcasts about Ball Sports as well, mainly audio and of course some video when we can. All
right. On behalf of my man C-Dub, on behalf of my man Tone, aka Feast is Famine, follow him on Twitter at Feast is Famine, and also check out his show Open Gym on the Ball Sports Network. Check that out. And on behalf of my man D Jackson, thank y'all for tuning in. I'm Big Dave. We'll catch y'all next time, man. Peace.